We'll take our Bibles and again turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 this morning, verse 35 through 48 is our passage. The Lord's word is a means of grace to us, of help, of instruction, reminding us things that we're inclined to forget, things about which we may not give our full attention. And so the Lord speaks to us, wants us to be full of great things in our Lord Jesus. Let's then pray and ask for his blessing. Our Father in heaven, to think that we would have communion with you, the God of all eternity, the God of glory, the God who is full of grace to his own. And to think with this great thought that you have made and qualified us to have acceptance with you through your Son. Lord, we confess that we often don't rise to the occasion. We don't think of the great privilege that it is, the expensive cost that it was for our Savior to bring these things about, to celebrate the power by which you've applied them to us through the resurrection of your Son and through the gift of his Holy Spirit. Lord, as your word is read and as we think on the teaching of our Lord this morning, make for our hearts to be touched with the authority of God speaking, with the relevance of these matters for us each day. And may we give glory and attention to you as the one whom we now serve through faith in your Son. Bless your word to us. Change us by it. Remind us of what we know already and have become convinced of, but make it new in our hearts and fresh even this day. We ask it all for our good in Christ and for his glory. Amen. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Jesus says, "Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." Peter said, "Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, 'My master will be a long time in coming,' and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more." And that's where we'll end our reading. of the Word of God this morning. Friends, you and I get ready for many things. You probably did for church this morning. In some way, to some extent, you cleaned up, you washed up, you got dressed up. You had a certain target time by which you wanted to leave your house. You had a certain time by which you wanted to arrive here. When you arrived here, you probably made the usual greetings. You then took your seats here and you prepared yourself by maybe prayer, reflection, thinking on what's in the bulletin. You got ready for worship this morning. You, like me, do this with other things as well. Whether it's bed at night, whether it's a test, it's school, whether it's company that's coming, or leaving for work tomorrow, or doing errands. You and I get ready to do many, many things. Certainly, we get ready for the most important things. If you had an IRS audit, you would get yourself ready. If you had a court appearance, you would definitely get yourself ready. You would get yourself ready for a wedding. You would get yourself ready with preparations for a funeral. The most important and serious things we prepare for. We get ready for those things. Are you getting ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready for the Lord when He comes, on whatever day that will be? Have you been getting yourself ready? If Jesus were to return today, would you be ready? Or would there be many things that even in the asking of the question right now, you would say, I hope He doesn't come today. And here's why. Or are there things about your own life that deep down inside you want to get ready? You want to have finished. You want to have grown in. You want to experience or you want to do before the Lord comes. Are you getting ready to meet the Lord? Are you prepared to meet the Lord? Our Lord has been speaking to the disciples about living for Judgment Day in Luke chapter 12, about living each day as if it were Judgment Day. Not being as hypocrites, but as He says, my friends. Not denying Him, but confessing Him before others. Not in being covetous, but in being content. That's what He's been speaking about in terms of this great theme of the day of judgment that is to come. And here at verse 35, our Lord speaks to His final coming, His return from heaven. It doesn't refer to His coming at 70 AD to judge and end the Jewish nation and its old covenant ways. He formally ended that at 30 AD at the cross. He established a new and a better covenant, not sealed in the blood of animals, but sealed in His own blood. And He then finally ended that old covenant way at 70 AD through sending the Roman armies of Titus Vespasian when he abolished the whole Jewish economy of the Old Testament, civically and ceremonially. But that's not what Jesus is referring to here. He's speaking of His final coming, His return from heaven, as He calls it at verse 36. His coming, which He says seven times, verse 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 43, 46. This is about His final return. At that great event, doubtless the greatest event that history will ever know, He will do several things. Obviously, He will come. You remember in Acts chapter 1, when he was ascending into heaven. And it says, after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men, seems angels, in white clothing stood beside them. And they also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Our Lord Jesus will come. And when he comes, it is going to be a personal coming. Notice how it says he and he. And he, and then it says, this Jesus, the very one who left earth and went into heaven, this Jesus will come once again. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says that the Lord himself will descend from heaven. It is a personal coming. It will be a bodily coming. As Luke notes in Acts chapter 1, this Jesus, who has been taken up from you, will come in just the same way as you saw him go. That's a bodily coming. It's also then a visible coming. Because it says he was lifted up while they were looking on, as they were gazing intently into the sky, this Jesus, who has been taken up from you, will come in just the same way as you saw him go. It will be a visible coming as much as it is a personal and a bodily coming. It's also going to be a glorious coming. The Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father and with his holy angels. Paul says to Titus, he speaks of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. When Christ is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. It's a glorious coming. In all, it will be a solemn coming. Because when our Lord Jesus comes, as Paul says, on that day, he will judge, according to my gospel, the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. It's a day of personal, bodily, visible, glorious coming of Jesus Christ for the solemn purpose of judgment. But when he comes, he will bring history to a crashing stop. And everything that you and I have planned will everlastingly be put on hold in terms of this life. He will bring with him those who have died in faith. He will raise the bodies of all the dead, reuniting them to their soul. He will judge the living and the dead, and those on his right will receive the reward of their good works. Those on his left will receive the reward of all their bad and evil works. He will then remove the curse from the earth. He will usher in a new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells, no longer sin, death, pain, suffering, misery. He will hand over the kingdom to his God and Father. And at that moment, God will be all and in all. There will be heaven for the righteous. There will be everlasting torment for the wicked. That is what's going to happen when Jesus returns. And friend, I ask you, are you ready? Are you prepared for when Jesus returns? Have you ever thought of actually meeting the very person of Jesus Christ and give your own personal account to him personally? Jesus Christ will come again. All this highlights the very solemn point that Jesus is making in this passage. Jesus is going to come again. Until that time, there are two principles. There are two characteristics that he gives for us to live by until that time. The first is readiness or watchfulness. The second is faithfulness. Readiness and faithfulness. You can see the readiness theme at verses 35 through 40. You note it in verse 35. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Verse 36. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Are you ready? You see it again there at verse 40. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. You do not know it. You see the illustrations here of readiness. Here is this Lord, it's translated master, but this Lord returning home from a wedding feast. Wedding feasts, as you know, they can go several hours. They can go late into the night. There are people to enjoy. There's an occasion to celebrate. All kinds of celebratory activities, dancing, talking, eating and drinking. Those things can go later into the night. And here is this one Lord who's returning from the wedding feast, and he has servants at home, and he, as the Lord of the house, would have them ready so that when he knocks, he will be given entrance, and everything that he wants in his home will be tended toward him when he arrives. The question is, are they going to be awake? Are they going to stay up? Will they have their lamps lit? Will they hear his knock, or will they be drifting off, dozing into a slumber of sleep? Are they going to be ready? Second illustration is of a Lord who's guarding his house from the thief. I've never gotten an email from a thief saying, "Be ready because about this time I plan to be in the neighborhood. And if I like your house and it looks appealing to me, I'm going to come up and knock and tell you that I'd really like to have those belongings that I see in your windows." No thief gives notice. And every lord, if he's serious about his house, will protect it. He'll take measures to ward off the thief and keep what is rightly his own. The lord of that house is ready. And his servants, too, are ready for such things. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Have you prepared yourself? Since Jesus, the Lord, is to come and return, you must, as servants, as slaves, be ready. You have to consider what it requires if you're going to be ready. What does it require of Jesus' slave, but denying yourself and being always ready and wholeheartedly given to service of Jesus Christ? Now imagine these servants here in the parable waiting up on a first century night. Just transport yourself back into this time. They don't have any TV. They don't have any iPods or iPads, and they don't have any electricity that would help them stay up at night. They don't have any telephone that they could call to people. What did they have but darkness? And if you had light, you had to keep this little oil lamp lit. It would be difficult to stay awake, especially when culturally you're used to going to bed pretty much when the sun goes down. There's really nothing else to do but maybe read or talk by candlelight. These people would have had to work at staying up a lot more than perhaps you and I would. As much as we might think, well, I'm tired enough, I'm going to bed. They would have to work at staying aroused and awake. What else would there be to do? And it's not that this Lord of the house can't just let himself in. No, it is that he would have to be received. To have his coming home be welcomed on the other side of the door. That there's a relationship here such that this Lord loves his slaves and seeks to be with them. And because of that, these slaves ought to love their Lord and welcome him when he returns. You and I are to be ready. We're to be watchful. We're to be sober and on the alert. How do we do this? We deny ourselves. It's required of us that we deny ourselves and we at every point, especially when we're weary and we're yawning and we're tired, that we give ourselves to the things of the Lord. You do know that you have to be alert and watchful because there is an adversary, a roaring lion, Satan, who is on the prowl seeking someone that he might devour. You must be ready. You must be on the alert. You must be, in the words of 2 Corinthians 2:11, not ignorant of the devil's schemes. You must be knowing and watchful. You must look at every temptation as something that this keeps me from being ready to answer the door. You should look at every sin within and every sin that you commit as something giving yourself to not being ready toward the Lord and leading you further and further away from that knock at the door when our Lord Jesus would return. You have to have a focused and alert, a ready and attentive mindset. As it says, gird up the loins of your mind in the old way. Be dressed in readiness. In the ancient Near East, when you went to run, you had to literally lift up your garments and tuck them in so that you wouldn't be dragging this long dress, as it were, around. Ready to run. And our Lord uses that kind of language, to be dressed in readiness. You have to be ready that at any moment you could give a witness or a defense for the hope that is in you. We read our scriptures and we study them so that we can be a witness for Christ publicly. We must be sober and watchful in prayer. As Paul says, and Peter as well. You must be focused on the steps of an approaching Lord. A knock that you think you might hear. Now, we don't know the time. We don't know the time. But we should always be ready, as if it might be even today. What did those first century people do? But they tuned out everything else. And they denied themselves to the extent that they could be ready to receive the Lord. You have to consider what it requires, self-denial. You have to consider what it results in, however, also. And that is blessedness. What blessedness that when Jesus, who has been at a wedding feast the better part of a day and a night, comes home and stays up with the slaves. What blessedness, one wedding feast already, and yet what does he say? But blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert. When he comes, truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. What blessedness that this master is not too tired after this wedding feast that he comes home and he says we must have our own too. And at the end of a long celebratory day, he is the one who serves those who have until this point served him. You see what it's getting at from the first to the second coming of Christ, that blessedness that will result in all of your self-denial, all of your service, all of your waiting and readying yourself for the Lord. There is another wedding feast to come, much more fully with the Lord personally himself. They waited for the Lord, now he waits on them. We should not look at the Lord's Supper without noticing the parallel. He puts them at his own table. He prepares the meal and he waits upon them. What is going on here in a matter of moments when we come to the Lord's table? But we are very much confessing our own readiness. And if you've been off in your lack of self-denial and in your serving yourself and not the Lord Jesus, here is how you come to be ready for the Lord's coming. You come and you say, Jesus died for me. My sins are forgiven through the shedding of His blood. And this one who's risen from the dead and sits at the right hand of God the Father in heaven is feeding me through faith, such that my faith is strengthened. And my resolve to repent of my sins is made more strong and sure. And my desire to serve the Lord and to obey Him, I'm given spiritual energy as it is through not merely physical food, but spiritually for my soul. I'm becoming more ready for this wedding feast to come. It reminds us of Jesus' approaching return. This today is one more Lord's Supper closer to that great event when all of the sons of Abraham from north, south, east, and west will sit down and dine with the Master in His kingdom. We're that much closer. Our Lord is coming yet further. It makes us ready to receive Him. That is really as we take this little bit of bread and this one small sip from the fruit of the vine, we are preparing ourselves to receive the very person of our Lord Jesus Christ on that day. It's leading us to be serving Him because we come to this table and we know that we're but slaves. We're but servants. We've been called into not merely the service of Christ, but the fellowship with Him as servants, with this Lord of the house. The Lord's Supper is preparing us. Blessed are those slaves. If you have ears to hear it, blessed are you who believe. In coming to this table, you're seeing a picture of your coming to that table in the everlasting estate when He comes. You're a blessed people. And so you see what's required in the way of self-denial and service to Jesus Christ. But you see what it results in. Blessedness. And if you're blessed and strengthened here at this table, how blessed will you be on that day when He returns? We must be ready. Are you ready? Or are you not? If you're not ready, friend, get ready. Get ready. Maybe you've seen that television commercial where the person picks up a note and he opens it up and it says, "Your heart attack will be tomorrow." What a solemn note. Like the thief, heart attack does not come announced most times. And yet what solemnity. We open up and it says, "The Lord is coming at an hour that you do not expect." What does that do? But for like the person who reads the card about the condition of his heart, he takes responsibility. He readies himself with every manner of good responsibility for his body. In the same way, we get ready for the coming of our Lord. His coming is coming sooner than you think it is. He will come in an hour that we do not expect. The first one is readiness. The second characteristic is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Verse 41, Peter, is often for Peter, asks further, "Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well?" Now you can understand that because back there at verse 1 of the chapter, you remember the many thousands of people that are stepping on one another. You remember verse 13, the crowd. And the one guy impulsively says to the Lord, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." There's a whole crowd of people. And Jesus said at verse 22, turned to His disciples. And you see in your red letter Bible that He keeps going right to the end of verse 40. Peter may very well be confused and wondering, is this for everybody or is this just for us disciples here? And if it's really just for us, I got to make sure that I know it and I don't miss it because it pertains to me in a special way. And Jesus, of course, very helpfully gives a question of His own and doesn't answer things in the way that Peter would want them to be answered. And he basically says, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the right time? He's saying to Peter, Peter, if you want to make sure that you're getting the point, don't only be ready, but while you're becoming ready, be faithful and you'll be ready. The point is to be a faithful and a responsible steward. You notice that the blessedness of that slave in verse 42 brings us back. Verse 43. Blessed is that slave when his master finds him so doing when he comes. Such a slave is blessed not only in his readiness, but in his faithfulness. There's going to be a time of blessing for the faithful. You see it there at verses 42 through 44. He's preparing the rations. He's doing what his Lord would have him do when he comes. What's going to happen? Truly, I say to you, he'll put him in charge of all his possessions. Faithfulness. You know the statement that Jesus made elsewhere. Will the Son of Man, when he comes, find what on the earth? Will he find faith or faithfulness? Will he find it? Faithful is he that is faithful in a little, he'll be given more. Jesus calls us to be faithful with what we have. Are you using your spiritual gifts? Are you taking opportunities to serve your brother or your sister? Are you taking opportunities to love your neighbor in word and in deed for the sake of Christ? Are you doing everything that Jesus, in terms of your own life before him, are you doing what he calls you to do as a father, as a mother, as a spouse, as a child, as an employee, as a neighbor, as a pastor, or as an elder or a deacon? Are you doing the things that Jesus would have you to do? We won't leave out such things as student or citizen. Are you doing these things? Are you being faithful? When it comes to your own life before Jesus Christ and no one else is watching, are you being faithful? Behind those closed doors, doing what a good slave should do, so that when the master comes back and knocks, you're there ready to receive him. Jesus would have us be faithful. It's only at that point, when he comes and knocks, that we can put down our service and receive him gladly. Until then, we're faithful so that we'll be ready. There's going to be blessedness and blessing for the faithful. But Jesus says there's going to be peril for the unbelieving. There's going to be peril for the unbelieving. You note that because people deny, or they distort, or they doubt his coming, that's a sign of unbelief. Look at it there, verse 45. But if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming. Man, I hate these people that I have to work with. Man, they frustrate me something. And he goes and he beats men and women. And he begins to eat and drink and get drunk. And he's irresponsible with what he has. And he uses it selfishly for his own purposes. There's going to be peril. The master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect and at an hour he does not know and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with who? The unbelievers. And if you're here unfaithful to what the Lord has given you to do, and you're one that is among his servants, among his slaves, and yet you are presuming and doubting and inwardly denying his coming and living as though there is no day to give account before Jesus Christ. And you, like those in 2 Peter chapter 3, say, where is this promise of his coming? Or like the wicked in Psalm 49 who think that their houses are forever. If you're such a person who's living as though there is no accountability and there's no Lord over you, there's a huge surprise coming at the end. You're going to be right there carrying on and you're beating the men and the women and you're eating and drinking and getting drunk and being foolish with what the Lord has entrusted you for a time as a steward. That when he comes, you're going to be caught in the act. And then what will it be like? There's peril for the unbelieving. And friend, if you continue in that and you do not repent and believe and show works of faithfulness, what are you doing but merely living out who you are as an unbeliever? There will be peril for the unbelieving. Not only those who deny his coming, but even those who disregard it. Verse 47. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. Here's a person who knows these things. This is a person who has a conscience, it seems. He knows. He's enlightened. He knows these things, and yet he does not do it. There are many lashes. Scripture speaks of some who suffer loss at the day of judgment. And the fire of that day will burn up the bad works, but you'll suffer loss. There will be many corrections. It will not be as easy on the day of judgment. There will be lashes. There will be, of course, everlasting life for those who believe. But there will not be, I think, the easy commendation as there otherwise would have been had we been faithful. And there are those who are ignorant and they don't know. And Jesus says that one who did not know and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few. The day of judgment, even for those who know and yet do not do. Many lashes for those of whom should have known better. And yet some for those who didn't know. And all of this, it drives us to Jesus Christ. It drives us to the value of his blood. It drives us to the death he had on the cross for us, so that if we are in no way ready, we would be struck with the need to get ready and the need to get right with God if you're not, so that you can be about these works of careful faithfulness to the Lord. How much more care you and I have to have with what we know already, that we might do it more fully. Don't you struggle with that? I know I do. Many things we know, we're convinced of them. We know the right thing that we should do. And yet to him who knows the right thing to do, to him, James says, it is sin. The Lord is speaking to us. Peter, he's speaking to you. But Peter, he's speaking to all disciples. All disciples. We must show ourselves faithful. Jesus is coming. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be faithful. So are you ready? Or are you not? And if you're not, here are things that we do that we may be ready, as he says that we should. We get ready now by repentance. We stay ready by faithfulness. You played that childhood game, I'm sure, of hide and seek. You'd go off and you'd find your hiding place, and that person who was it, quote unquote, the words coming out of the mouth, ready or not, here I come. I used to always get so nervous when I heard that. Was my hiding place good enough? Did I do everything I really should have done? Do I have a foot sticking out too far? Jesus is saying, ready or not, I'm coming. May it not be a day that you do not expect in the wrong way of the expression. None of us is going to know. We'll probably, perhaps be dead and gone. But we live not knowing. And if it were that Jesus were to come in our lifetime, ready or not, here he comes. Are you ready or are you not? Let us be ready. Let us be faithful until that time comes. Our Father in heaven, we confess that we have spent our time and used our gifts in ways that are not full with you. And we pray that you would forgive us these transgressions. Could you not wait 1 hour, you said to the disciples. And yet they, slumbering, quickly asleep. Lord, we relate to the same and we confess that we cannot wait 1 hour. It's difficult to stay up into the late hours. We're tired, we're spent with oftentimes side things to what is important to you in the kingdom of Christ. We pray that you'd not only forgive us, but by your word and by your spirit and through the sacrament today, work in us a real readiness, a carefulness, a watchfulness, faithfulness in all that you've called us to do, that we would be those servants who live not for ourselves, but only for you. Help us in these things. Fill our hearts with such a sense of the privilege that we have to be your slaves, that you will come and return and provide the greatest of banquet celebrations to us. May we, as we partake this day, be filled with a longing for that day. Hasten the day of your coming, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, because we're ready and faithful. Lord, work this kind of mindset in us, we pray, even as we ask for forgiveness when we've not shown it. In Jesus' name and for his sake we ask. Amen.